Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
I'm coming out. Diana Ross, a little assist from Mal Rogers there on production and guitar. In honor of the Grizzlies, I think this is, last night was, I think, the culmination of a little bit of a coming out.
Yeah, it was, something else last night. As evidence of this, Zach Lowe has invited, Zach Lowe has reached out to you, is that right?
Yeah, we'll see about that, but yeah.
Okay. The point is that it feels like...
I don't like to say things before I do them.
Okay.
Right.
But it feels like, whether it's Stephen A. Smith apologizing to the Grizzlies for not realizing how awesome they were or are or whatever, it did feel like something different last night. And you tweeted this out, and I included a thought like this in my column. It wasn't honestly... It's not just nationally. Like, people are like, well, nationally, we're getting the respect we deserve. It felt like last night, Memphians, and I'm not saying some weren't thinking this last week or 2 days ago or whatever else, but there is a sort of dawning, a realization of what we have here. And it feels like for Memphis, there was this sort of a celebration and a realization of what we have here last night, too. At least that's how it felt to me.
Yeah, I mean, I tweeted that out in the first quarter, and to me, and I stand by that assessment, and I would have stood by that assessment if they lost the game.
Right.
It wasn't about the outcome of that game. And I think it was because four of the previous five games had been on the road, and the one that hadn't been on the road was Detroit, which was like, you know, they're like the worst team in the league,
right.
So you don't put as much into that. But they had gone out, they'd beaten Brooklyn on the road, they beat Cleveland on the road, they beat both LA teams on the road. And I think this was even though there was a home game in the middle against a bad team, it felt like a little bit of a homecoming, like, you know, hell, the conquering hero. They have returned from battle like a new man or whatever. It felt like that. It was like the moment that the home crowd got to embrace and recognize we're in a different phase, not only in this season, but in this era of the franchise. I really think it felt that way.
Yeah. You called it a shift. And I think it's been all promising. It's been all promising for a while now, but and even in the last year's playoffs, it was obviously exciting and thrilling and everything that they were accomplishing, but it feels like we are back to contender status at some level, and that we can look forward to. Hopefully, you never know how it's going to play out. You know, there were certainly moments when I'm sure those Timberwolves teams of whatever, you know, thought that they were going to be great for the next 10 years with Starbury, and so you never know how these things are going to play out. But it feels like we are on the cusp or entering into, you know, 5 to 7 to however many years of being legitimate contender status. And there was definitely that feel in the building last night. It has not felt like that. The playoffs were weird last night because he had COVID and all of that. But it has not felt like that in a long time.
No, I agree. And it's not, I mean, obviously, to your point, nothing's guaranteed. And I'm not even talking about the next 7 years or the next whatever.
Right.
I'm talking about, like, right now, today.
Right.
They may lose in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, there's a decent chance they will lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I suspect, you know, it depends on who they get matched up with and who's healthy and all, and whatnot. But that, even if that happens, it doesn't change. I just think this team is now, there's a certain gestalt that happens around basketball teams, or just things have to sort of click into place. You know, I know talent, you know, elite talent is the most important thing, but elite talent itself is not a guarantee, as, you know, multiple Lakers teams over the years have shown us. It's a, there's something about skill sets and personalities and chemistry just all sort of clicking into place. And this team, it's sort of clicked into place. And so I just think whatever happens, like, over the next, you know, few months, over the next few years, whatever, right now, today, this team is not what we thought they were going to be. They are up there with these other. I wouldn't yet say like they're 100% as good as Utah and Golden State and Phoenix, but they might be. Like, they might be.
Yeah, yeah. I meant this year. Yes, the next 5 to 7 years, but starting now, like this year and going forward. That's the beautiful thing about it. Is it's this year and going forward. In terms of storylines, last night there were a lot of them. Let's start with Zaire Williams. Yesterday on the show, we said, well, you can't very well put him on Steph. And what the hell? They put him on Steph. He had 17 points. He did a credible job. He looks comfortable, athletic, all of that. Thoughts on Zaire Williams?
Yeah, I mean, I think what he's done since he's come back from injury has been enormously encouraging. It may be that, you know, you never know, but it may be that the time away a little bit, like, was helpful to him in terms of watching and sort of learning, but like sort of catching your breath a little bit in the middle of this rookie season. And he's come back with confidence. And I think even early on when he was playing poorly, you can see like the raw tools that made the Grizzlies want him. And I think you're seeing it. I mean, you're seeing him catch up to sort of those raw tools, or those raw tools take a step forward, I think, much quicker than anyone anticipated now.
Yeah. I liked, so in the lob that he threw to Ja, like, it's very clearly he took a breath and was able to sort of absorb where he is and come back and just play basketball, it seems to me, is what is happening here. But, like, he still is this really youthful kid, I don't know, like, young man. In the Ja, in the lob to Ja, he threw the lob, and then he, like, jumped in excitement because he knew what was going to happen. Like, it's fun watching him play well and watching him flourish. And it does feel like, my God, Zach Kleiman in that group could have hit again. Like, it's just, like, at some point, it's not an accident when you're, you know, Brandon Clark and Desmond Bane and Zaire Williams now, you know, and you can imagine him, as you pointed out, heading into the draft, that what he could be is maybe one of the most coveted things in the league right now, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, I based on what they had done in college, which is not much in Zaire Williams' case, like, I liked Moses Moody better. But once you see Zaire Williams, you can see how the 99th percentile outcomes is higher for Zaire Williams because the blend of length and skill relative to position.
Right.
You know, a 6'9 wing who is quick and springy and can, you know, all the tools are there. It's just a matter of not everyone puts all the tools together. I mean, that's sort of the mystery of it all. But you can see how all the components are there to be put together.
Okay. And then we had Jaren Jackson Jr. And I really was a game once again. Obviously, Steven Adams wasn't there, so his absence when he was out was even more exacerbated. But last night, and you've been talking about this all year, how he's made the leap into an elite defender, but you saw the difference last night when he was on the court and when he wasn't. He changes the game. Like, Jaren Jackson changes the game. He is as impactful on the defensive end, it feels like, certainly did last night, as Ja Morant is on the offensive end.
Well, that was the difference from the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, the Grizzlies gave up 39 points in the third where they set Jaren for most of the quarter. And then they gave up 18 in the fourth quarter where they played him the whole quarter. And I'm glad they played him the whole quarter. I was really worried when they kept him out so long.
Right.
Because there was a game a few weeks ago where the same thing happened, where he got like a fourth foul early in the third, and they set him down for the entire third quarter. And they brought him back in to start the fourth. But they didn't want to play him 12 straight minutes, so they set him back down again in the middle of the quarter. I think it was a game against Toronto. And I was worried they were going to do that again. So at least they let him play out the whole fourth. I will note, if you look at your box score,
four fouls. Yes, he did.
Right.
You could have gotten more from Jaren Jackson Jr. But just tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
He is really, I spent a little bit of time yesterday sort of digging through some numbers on that, and I don't know whether I'll write something next week or maybe later. I was mostly just curious. I really think there's a case. It's funny, like the whole organization has been beating the drum all season that Desmond Bane needs to win the Most Improved Player of the Year award, even though John Morant probably needs to. And, like, no one, up until, like, 2 days ago or whatever, like, I don't know why they're not beating the drum about Jaren Jackson Jr. all defense. I think he needs to be all defense this year. I think he's been the fourth best defensive big in basketball when you dig into the numbers.
And who's better?
Draymond Green, Rudy Gobert, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And that's it.
I think so.
Yeah. He's been great. Ja was interesting. Obviously came out attacking and then finished at the end with the stare down of the little kid, which was fun.
Everything about that was perfect. It was perfect in the moment because it's not something you can plan for. It just you look up and there it is. And he reacted to it perfectly in the moment.
It was perfect.
But then he also reacted to it perfectly in every way after the game.
In what sense?
He could have come in and said, I was just staring out into space, or I was looking at some dude in the fourth row. Like, I wasn't. He did not deny the moment.
He embraced the moment, and then he said he'll send the kid of Jersey's jersey.
Yes, that's what I mean. It's like on both ends of that. Because you don't want him to deny this great moment that just happened, but you don't want to end it with like being mean to a little kid either. Like, it all came together perfectly.
It was just the best. And it's funny because, you know, it's a little bit of a, it's a little bit of, to me, it's a little bit of the, when it comes to little kids in Warriors jerseys, we care not for them. And we had that with Tony Allen, who once walked through the little kids. Now, that was a pure obliviousness. This was intentional. But I did think it was an appropriate descendant of the Tony Allen moment. If you're a little kid in a Grizzlies jersey, you're going to get what you get. I mean, in a Golden State jersey, you're going to get what you get. There were a fair number of Warriors fans last night, I thought. Obviously, they were overwhelmed in the end by Grizzlies fans, but there was a little bit of a back and forth there. Did you not note?
Oh, yeah. And it's not like those were the only kids in the crowd with Warriors jerseys. There was like 1,000 kids in the crowd with Warriors jerseys. Like, when I went to the bathroom, there were kids standing in line for the bathroom with Warriors jerseys.
Yeah.
And so, like, too bad for those kids.
What has been the Tyus Jones playing with Ja Morant history? Obviously, Tyus was killer last night, and in particular, given what Peyton was doing, like, they did it for a reason. We need another ball handler in there, and it played out perfectly. You don't expect Tyus Jones to go 5 for 5. What is your opinion on that strategy, and how has it been over the course of the season?
I don't know how it's been over the course of the season. I don't have that at the top of my head. It's been up and down over the years. To me, it's situational. I think whenever you play two small guards together, it's like a situational thing.
Right.
I think there have been times where Grizzlies have tried to use it. They've experimented with it as like a regular rotation thing, and I think that's when it's sort of gone different ways. Last night was situational. It was about Gary Payton really getting into John Morant in the middle of that game and wanting sort of a release valve in terms of ball handling and playmaking. And I think it was a well-coached deployment of that lineup last night.
Okay. And then the Andre Iguodala stuff. I know that it was never a deal that was about anything but the first-round draft pick. But I did enjoy the unbelievable commitment to the bit from the fans last night. I didn't, and honestly, as the person who once wrote a wildly overwrought column saying Andre Iguodala could rot, I didn't think anyone was even think about it. Like, I thought he might get a smattering of boos. The commitment to the bit, every time he touched the ball, it was very impressive by the Memphis fan base.
Yeah, no, I mean, they definitely were committed to it. I mean, I just think, just for one last time, for old time's sake, I mean, my only thing about that is, you know, once upon a time, the Vancouver Grizzlies drafted Steve Francis, and he said, no thanks.
Yes.
That was true villainy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who get upset when you use the word asset in connection to basketball players, and I respect that. it's kind of hard to avoid when the league's play roster management roles are financial. But the truth is, the Grizzlies treated Iguodala like an asset. They were trying to double dip. They got paid to take his contract, and they thought, let's get paid to send his contract. And the only reason they wanted to keep him on the roster was in order to use him as an asset. And so to me, I just can't get mad at Andre Iguodala for, like, you know.
But my contention is that's not why they're mad at Andre Iguodala. They were mad because he crapped on Memphis. That's why people were mad at Andre Iguodala.
It's whatever. It's the most small market energy moment in, like, Grizzlies history, where we are just desperate to be offended at things all the time. I'll let it go. Whatever. Andre Iguodala.
Delightful. It was delightful. It was obviously a wrestling. A lot of wrestling is small moments and being offended at things. And my contention is that's what it was last night. I was surprised by it, but I enjoyed it. Moving on. Anything else? What did you think of the Warriors last night, by the way? What did you think of Clay?
I didn't really notice, honestly, in the flow of the game. He didn't really jump out in the game last night. Obviously, they were playing without Draymond. Grizzlies are also playing without Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams. But I also don't think, and I've sort of, you know, I've come around on the Warriors. I they had that incredible start, but they also had an incredibly weak schedule. And I have sort of come around to, they are one of the top-tier teams. But I don't think they are the top-tier team, like even with Clay. Like I do not put the Warriors in a different category as the Suns and the Jazz. I just don't.
Well, and I think,
if you look at the last 20 games, they're like 13-7 or 12-8 or something like that.
And I think that one reason, when you look at what is possible, not just the next 7 years, but this year, it strikes me that one of the reasons you can sort of dream as big as you can is there's no Death Star in the West. You know, there's last year was the Suns and they were great and whatever else, but they're not like, this is not the Warriors of old, that, you know, there is a limit to what you can achieve. You look at
this. Was,
go
this
ahead.
This was part of my rationale. This was an unstated part of my rationale when I wrote in my trade column a couple of days ago before this game last night that this core of players, this 25 and under core, these six players could evolve into a title. They could win a title. That was, and part of my rationale for saying that was, I think we have to get past this notion that you have to have multiple Hall of Famers in their prime to win a title. Milwaukee had one. They had, all-star, borderline all-star, Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton, but, like, they had one Hall of Fame player in his prime. The Phoenix probably should have won the title last year. They really had maybe zero. I mean, Chris Paul's a Hall of Fame player, but
not in his prime.
Totally in his prime.
Yeah.
I don't know if Devin Booker's a Hall of Famer. That Lakers team had it with Davis and LeBron, but they were facing a Miami team. They really didn't. They had Jimmy Butler. The Raptors team that won the title before that, they'd won. Really, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, Lowry probably be a Hall of Famer. He wasn't really in his prime. He was on the back end. And so was Marc Gasol. And so, to use your terminology, the Death Star, like the Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and the LeBron, Wade, and all of that. Like, we'll see what happens. Maybe Brooklyn wins a title along those lines, and maybe some super team reconstitutes this summer. But, like, it is possible. You know, Dirk Nowitzki did it in Dallas, and the Pistons did it with Billups, and all of that. Like, it is possible to win titles with one elite player and a bunch of really good players who play well together.
And so now onward we go. It is, I said exactly what you said earlier. You can imagine this team getting to a conference finals. You can imagine this team, if you want, getting to the NBA finals. You can also totally imagine this team losing in the first round. You get Kawhi Leonard back on the Clippers. There's no reason the Grizzlies couldn't lose to that team in a 4-5 matchup. That absolutely is within the realm of, what is possible. I do wonder, like, there's Kyle and Tyus are so valuable, and we saw that last night. It really has totally changed your approach with Tyus and Kyle, right? You just hang on to them. They're contributing to the cause, unless you can upgrade.
I think so. I think with Tyus in particular, because I mean, they don't have, you can take Kyle out, and other stuff will fill that void,
right?
Even though they've done it, you don't really want to do it at the point guard spot because you only have two of them.
Right.
And Tyus Jones is playing so well. And so I'm not going to rule out, like, Kyle Anderson's involved in a trade. Like, we'll see. To me, Anderson and Melton are the two guys, and I love them both, obviously. But they're the two guys who are most pushed in different directions by other parts of the roster. But you don't need to move them. And I was planning on making the trade thing. Like, you know, if you lose them for nothing this summer, like, okay, whatever, that's fine. I mean, you better that than, like, trading them for, like, you know, what they did with Grayson Allen, which I think was the right decision on that one. But it would not be the right decision to trade one of those two guys for a couple second-round picks right now.
Right. It is amazing. This team has all of this. They have all of these pieces, all of these parts, and six first-round picks in the next 3 years. Is that it? Including the Lakers, which right now would be 16.
Yeah. They're plus three going forward. So they have two extra ones this summer and then one another extra one in 2024.
Unbelievable.
But yes.
It's a hell of a lot of fun. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.